Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
We are in a series on the kingdom of God. As Jesus is teaching in Matthew 13, He's using different parables to teach everyone what the kingdom of God is like. He's trying to instruct those that are listening, those who have ears to hear, what His kingdom is like, how His kingdom is different. And the parable today is sort of linked to a couple of the parables that we've taught in the past, because this one talks about a wild growth happening as well. So last week we looked at the parable of the mustard seed, a tiny little seed that has exponential growth. I'm going to read actually Matthew 13, verse 18, because this talks about, again, the kingdom as a seed. It says, "Listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom," so the word of the kingdom, when someone hears the word of the kingdom, or Luke actually says the word of God, they're synonymous, and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. So what is the enemy's goal here? What's clear through this passage? The enemy's goal is to snatch the word of God from your heart. He doesn't want the embedded word of the kingdom to be in the soil of your heart. Because if it is, and it's not going to be choked out by anything, it's going to grow. And we see this in verse 23. "But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown." So the kingdom of God is a kingdom that grows and it multiplies. And today we're looking at another analogy of kingdom growth. And we'll be looking where it says Jesus also used this illustration. "The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast or leaven a woman used in making bread. Even though she only put a little yeast in 3 measures of flour," that's like a ton of flour, I think about 50 pounds, "it permeated every part of the dough." So let's talk about bread this morning. I have some bread here. And whoa, there we go. It's already grown a lot. How many of you could tell which bread here? If I can try to do a quick little show and tell for y'all. One of them's alive, right? Which one? Any guesses? It's the one that's giant and ginormous. And it's spreading. And what's happening, you know, my sourdough people can correct me if I'm wrong. Bless you, sourdough people. I love that sourdough is just being spread throughout the community. But this is what Jesus wants the kingdom of God to do. When you're doing sourdough, how do you start with sourdough? You get a starter, right? And that starter has something that's alive in it, and you're mixing that with the other dough. And what's happening is those cultures are ingesting sugar, nom nom, and then they're growing and they're expanding and they're reproducing, and that's setting off gas and that's making the bread grow, and it's permeating through the whole bread. I've made yogurt before too, and it works similarly. You warm up milk to a certain temperature where it's conducive to the cultures of the yogurt, and you just put in a little bit of yogurt into the milk. All of a sudden, it's all yogurt. And Jesus is using this example to say this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's alive in you, and the word of God is alive and active. How many of you believe that? And when we say the word of God is alive and active, we're recognizing that, you know, the Bible that we have is not like an instructional book. It doesn't just have a good way to follow your life and you can learn some things from it. It's truth. And God's word has an aspect to it that's living and active. And when God said, "Let there be light," guess what happened? There was light. Is that word still working today? It clearly is, because we have light here this morning. There's not an end to that. That's a continuing word. And then the Bible, we're acknowledging that the truth that God outlaid in the Bible, there's a realness to it that's still alive and living in us. And so what we want to see in our lives is the permeating of the kingdom of God in our life. God has put the starter of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And now the Holy Spirit doesn't just want to camp out and just chill and help you to when you're stressed. I mean, he does want to do that too. But he wants to change you. Amen? He wants to turn you into yogurt. He wants to permeate his attitude, his character, who he is all through your life. And you know the Holy Spirit is working in you when you see the attitudes and thoughts of your heart change. How many of you have witnessed that? The way you see people, the way you love people, the way that you view the world, all of a sudden it's like something is happening. God is producing his character in me and through me. And then the cool thing is, you know, if I take off this plastic, it would probably be dangerous because it will spread. And if we want to be Christians, how many of you want to be a Christian that spreads the kingdom of God? Hopefully that's every one of us. There's a lot of hands raised in their hearts, I'm trusting, right? And if that's not you, I'm glad you're here. But as a believer, there's no other thing that we want to do. We want to come alive to God and his kingdom, right? And where does that start? In our hearts. And so my question today is, the leaven of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God dwelling in you? Paul said in Colossians 3, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Think of that. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. If that's truly happening, another translation says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. And actually, if you look at the context of the passage, it's not even someone alone doing their devos. It's in a community where they're encouraging each other with the word of God. So the other day I was in the foyer and young adults were reading their Bible and they were letting the word of God dwell amongst them richly. When you share your testimony of what Jesus has done in your life, you're doing this as well. So again, it is doing your devos at home, but then it's getting into a community where you're feasting on the word of God. You're letting the word of God dwell in you richly. And when that is truly happening, guess what happens? The word of God is alive. The word of God is permeating your heart. It's growing. And so it's for me to trust that the yeast works. Sometimes I make, and this yeast is working. Sometimes I make pizza dough at home and I do it with dry yeast. And so I try to activate the yeast, but I don't do it that often. So I never quite know if the yeast is working. I'm always like, please work. And sometimes it does, and sometimes it's like, oh, my yeast is dead. But is the word of God dead? No. Is the Holy Spirit alive in you? Yeah. Well, then if you let it dwell in you, it's going to grow and it's going to expand. And so your job is to let it dwell in you. Let it permeate every part of your body. Take it with you throughout the day. Let the truth of the Holy Spirit and the message of Christ and the gospel shape and change who you are. And as you do that, I think it's highlighted in 2 Corinthians 3. It says, beholding the glory of God, we're being transformed into the same image. Isn't that amazing? God is transforming us to look like him from one degree of glory to another. It's not fast sometimes, right? One degree of glory to another. One degree of glory to another as we behold him. And how does that happen? Through your power? No. The power of God working through you, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So our job is to let the Holy Spirit really just take over our life and permeate every part of our being and let his word dwell within us and expand and grow into our hearts, into our households, and into our community. But I think part of what the Bible actually warns us about as well is there are different leavens. In the Bible, leaven is often actually viewed as a negative thing. Here, Jesus is saying that this leaven is the kingdom of God. This is the good leaven you want. But the Bible talks about different kinds of leaven as well. When Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, it was a church that there were some gnarly things about Corinth. And they were proud and they were boasting about some really bad sins. And so this is what Paul writes to them. Your boasting is not good. It's not good. Why are you proud of this sin in your community? And then he says this, don't you know a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? He says to that church, if you're gonna embrace the sin, it's gonna permeate. Clean out the old leaven so you may be a new lump, just as you were in fact unleavened, for Christ our Passover has also been sacrificed. Therefore, let's celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Paul's saying a lot here, so we're going to unpack this passage. If you want to turn your Bibles to this passage, do that, because we're going to be going back. So what's Paul telling Corinth? First of all, Paul is telling Corinth, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. The enemy would love to trick you into thinking, hey, just let a little bit of sin hide inside of your heart. Like give God 99% of your heart and let me have just that tiny 1%. And when the enemy has that tiny 1%, that leaven of sin is inside and it's going to grow and grow and grow. It's going to permeate and it's going to spread and it's going to cause destruction. And so as a church, what we need to do, we have a calling actually to follow Hebrews 12:15. It says, look after each other so no one fails to receive the grace of God. We want to receive the grace of God because that's the power of God to change. And then it says this, watch out. Tell your neighbor, watch out. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. How many of you, if you have the leaven of sin inside of you, this is what it's going to do. It's not going to be contained to you. It's going to grow up and it's going to spill out. Have any of you ever seen that in your own life? Absolutely. And so what the enemy wants to do is he wants to give you a sourdough starter of sin. Planted in you. And then I hurt someone else with the hurtful words that I say. And then the enemy wants to plant a sourdough starter inside of that person of bitterness, and then it corrupts them, and it spreads, and it spreads, and it spreads, and it brings the destruction of sin and death everywhere. Where the leaven of the kingdom brings life and transformation, the leaven of sin brings death and corruption, and this is what the enemy wants. And so again, Paul is saying, that thing won't be contained. It's going to spread. It's going to leaven everything. So because it's going to leaven everything, Paul then says, clean out the old leaven in our lives. And this is actually referring to and connected to, Paul is referring to the celebration of the Passover. The Jewish people would have had a celebration of the Passover where they would kill a lamb, and it was to remember that, you know, when they marked the blood of the lamb on their doorpost, they were passed over from God's judgment, but not just protected from God's judgment, they were set free from Egypt, and they were brought into the new life, freedom from the bondage of Egypt, and they were a new people under God now. They weren't mastered by Egypt anymore, but they were God's people. And after you celebrated the Passover, you would have 7 days of celebrating the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Both of them were connected. They were actually interchangeable. You don't celebrate the Passover without the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You don't celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread without the Passover. The Passover starts, and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So what is that? Let's look at Exodus 12, and it says, "For 7 days, the bread you must eat must be made without yeast, no sourdough. On the first day of the festival, remove every trace of yeast from your homes." So what is Paul saying in saying, clean out the old leaven? He's saying, let's remove every trace of yeast from our lives. Because the lamb was slain, because Christ has come and delivered us from bondage of sin to this new place of freedom in Christ, what do? We live unleavened. We live unleavened from the sin of the world. We don't want sin growing inside of us. We want to be leavened with the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God. So in part of celebrating Passover, what we do is we live lives that are unleavened, and as a community, we rid the leaven of sin. Amen? We're going to do that next weekend at the Set Free Retreat. And what happens at the Set Free Retreat is we practice confession of sin. And it's beautiful because this is a unleavening. It's a rejecting of those places in our lives where we have given an agreement in our hearts towards sin. And we're saying, no, I want to be completely unleavened from the world, unleavened from sin, because we're unleavened. This is the next thing, if you want to go back to that other passage there, this is the next thing that Paul is telling the people. Clean out the old leaven so you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. You're unleavened. You're a new lump. If you're in Christ, tell your neighbor, you're a new lump. Probably never heard that before. You're a new lump. But we are in Christ. If we look at Christ, he's the bread of life. And he was completely unleavened from sin. Amen? There was no wickedness in him. There was no sin in. And he died on our behalf. When we were filled with the sin and we were trapped in sin, Christ offered his body as a living sacrifice so that we could be a new lump. And now Paul is saying, you're unleavened. You're free from sin's power. It doesn't mean that you never sin anymore, but it doesn't have to be your master. You're now belonging to the kingdom. You're unleavened from the power of sin. You're leavened with the Holy Spirit. So don't be leavened with sin. Live unleavened from sin and be leavened with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so this is what Paul is encouraging the church in Corinthians with. I love how it kind of breaks this down in Ephesians 4. It says, "But that's not the life for you." And Paul's talking about the new life found in Christ. "You learned Christ. My assumption is that you've paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we have no excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it." So we put off the old and put on the new. This is the message paraphrase, so it's written in contemporary language. And then it says, "And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct, permeating you, the Holy Spirit changing you from the inside out." The goal of the Christian life is not to have us have our behavior modified in our minds, but it's actually to have our behavior completely transformed from the inside out, right? This is why we talk about inner transformation instead of outer behavior modification. God wants to accurately reproduce his character in us. What this adds up to then is this: no more lies, no more pretense, no more leaven of sin. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other after all. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge, because then that is sin. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. If you look at the word foothold, some translations say opportunity, but that word, the direct translation, is an inhabited place. Don't give the enemy an inhabited place in your life. Amen? Don't give him a place. Because the active leaven of sin wants to come in and corrupt. But Christ set us free from the power of sin so that we can be leavened and filled with the Holy Spirit and have his culture grow in us instead of the culture of sin and corruption. Amen? It's awesome. Next, what Paul tells them is, therefore, so for Christ our Passover has also been sacrificed, therefore let's celebrate the feast. So let's celebrate the feast. Does that mean we're going to kill a lamb? Does that mean no more sourdough in our homes? No. How do we celebrate the feast? Not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So we celebrate Passover by acknowledging Christ's sacrifice for us that brought deliverance and freedom and forgiveness, that made us this new lump, unleavened from the world and leavened with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then part of that celebration is what? To say, sin, you're not welcomed in me. I want no part of you. I've been set free from sin. Why do I want to live in that anymore? Christ has set me free. I want to live free because this is what he made me, a free son of God. And really, this is the power of the gospel. How many of you realize that the good news is good news? How many of you that know that the good news of the gospel is like incredible news? How many of you know if you really start to understand it, the permeating effects of knowing the gospel and personally knowing Jesus Christ as the living Savior of your life, that the Holy Spirit is in you, he's freed you, he's made you a child of God. You could say, Abba, Father, and that's true. You have right standing with the Lord God, and he's leavened you with his very Spirit. How many of you realize that? That just makes you say, woo! And it, thank you. That's good. Awesome. Someone's with me. And it doesn't just make you excited in a moment. It changes your whole life. This is why Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When you know the power of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom, the message of Christ, and it dwells in you, the growth is going to be incredible. And this is why the Bible also talks about being unleavened from sin and also watching out for another leaven, the leaven of false teaching. Jesus with his disciples said, watch out. So if Jesus said watch out, we should watch out. Very good. Very good. You're good disciples. Jesus says something and we do it, right? Simple as that. Watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. This is talked about hypocrisy. Religion is not about presenting a false, righteous image of ourselves while we're dying on the inside. No, Christ made us new on the inside. He set us free. But man, we're not our own savior. How many of you are a sinner that needs saving? Yes, and our saving comes from Jesus Christ, not our good works, not the false image that we present ourselves with, not puffing ourselves up in self-righteousness. No, Jesus came to the sick people. He was with the sick because they needed a doctor, and we are here. We're all here, why? We need Dr. Jesus. Amen. We're sick and dying without him. And so we don't want to be leavened with the hypocrisy, the leaven of the Pharisees, which is a dead religion of works. We don't want to be leavened with lies that permeate into the church as a leaven. Pastor Claude, you preached an awesome message like 3 weeks ago about five lies that get into the church. Those are leavens, right? That was Pastor Claude wanting to protect the pure sincerity of the gospel. There is power and transformation in the pure sincerity of the gospel, and we want a gospel that's completely unleavened from the enemy's lies. God is the source of all truth, and the enemy is the father of lies. So he will try to lie and distort the gospel to try to corrupt its beautiful truth. And we can fall prey to it if we believe the lies of the enemy. This is why when you look at the Old Testament, most of the epistles talk about false teaching. It talks about false teaching in 1st and 2nd Timothy. It mentions it in Ephesians, in Titus, in Peter's epistles, in John's epistles. It talks about it in Romans. It talks about it in Colossians. It's everywhere. Why are they talking about beware of false teaching? Because there were all kinds of ideas floating around that were distorting who Christ was, distorting what the gospel is, and they were protective. They didn't want the pure teaching of the gospel to be leavened with falsehood. The book of Galatians, the whole book, is correcting the misunderstanding. And if you look at chapter 5, Paul says, "So Christ has truly set us free." Amen? He set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. Don't get tied up again in the slavery to the law. So in Galatia, people were saying, "Hey, Jesus, accept Jesus, but also get circumcised and do all of these other things to be right with God as well. Yes, Jesus, good, but do these other things to be acceptable before the Lord as well." And Paul says, "No, you can't live like that. The gospel means that you are free, not because of your own works, but because of the sacrifice that Jesus made." And so in verse 9, Paul says, "This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough." And so as a church, I think we have a responsibility to, again, I think it comes back to letting the word of Christ dwell richly among us. We want to spread the truth of the gospel, and we want it to dwell in us, dwell amongst us in our community. We want to come here on Sundays to make sure that we're not being leavened with sin, not leavened with false teaching, because the kingdom of God wants to permeate its people and not stay there. How many of you want to be part of the community where the kingdom of God and truth is permeating? Amen? Awesome. Let's stand to our feet and let's pray for that to happen. God, we thank you so much that the kingdom of God is like a little bit of leaven. And when it's hidden in the dough, it permeates and completely transforms. God, when we look at our calling to be as Christians, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We've been given your word in the Bible. God, may you permeate every part of our life. God, I think of when I made yogurt. It wasn't yogurt sitting inside of milk. With enough time, as those cultures dwelled inside of the milk, it became yogurt. God, this is what you want to do in us. You want us to be godly people. You want us to be holy as you are holy. And this only happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we let the word of Christ dwell in us, God, as we watch out as a community for the leaven of sin, we are your unleavened people, unleavened by sin, free from its power in our lives. God, I pray that we'd rid ourselves of every leaven of sin in our life, confess our sin, repent from our sin. And God, protect the truth of the gospel that in Christ Jesus and through his sacrifice and our faith in the Lamb of God, that we are made free. You have put your spirit inside of us, and you are at work to transform every part of our life. And God, you don't want to stay in us. You want to permeate through our household. I want to see my daughter see Jesus through my life. I want my community to see Jesus through my household, God. And it starts in my heart. Letting you take over, letting you fill me, letting you change my selfish ways, letting you point out the leaven of false teaching and sin in my life and saying, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm getting rid of that because I want to look like you. And you've put your spirit inside of me for that to be a possibility. So God, may we be like leaven and let your Holy Spirit grow and shape our hearts, our households, and our community. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.